Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about some of the things that are part of the Christian church, but things that shouldn't be part of it. In fact, I might step on some toes today. I hope no one is offended, but then in the war between good and evil, sometimes offense is appropriate. We know that the whole basis of the war between good and evil is based on the truth of God and the deception of Satan. Satan is a deceiver, and his purpose is to deceive you. Well, you may not think that you can be deceived, and you may think you've got all your ducks in a row, but the devil is really good at what he does. When a person thinks they cannot be deceived, that's exactly the time when they are most vulnerable. You are at great risk if you are not concerned about being deceived. Satan's deception is based upon lies, but lies which come as close to the truth of God as possible. And because the lies come so close to the truth, many people are easily deceived when they only have a surface knowledge of God's Word. John 8:32 tells us that it is the truth which sets us free. To be set free means to be released from the bondage of Satan. You are in bondage when you believe Satan's lies. When the knowledge within you is not pure truth, but is made up of a combination of lies and truth, you become subject to the power of Satan. What you believe determines how you will act. What you understand will be demonstrated by your words and actions. Everything inside of you controls that which takes place on the outside of you. For example, if you believe that no one should appear in public without being dressed in the latest style of clothing, then you will make every attempt to be dressed in that manner. This may seem a little silly to some of you, but many people, including many Christians, wouldn't be caught dead in last year's fashions. But they never stop and think where this feeling came from, whether it is really based on a realistic concept or is just a destructive doctrine which has been established by Satan's world social system in order to emphasize the flesh of mankind. In my opinion, for what it's worth, dressing appropriately is based on what covers you modestly and does not bring undue attention to your flesh. This is also borne out in Scripture. In 1 Timothy 2:8 through 10, it says, "Therefore I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with humility and soberness, not with braided hair, or gold or pearls, or costly array, but with that which is becoming to women professing godliness, and with good works." Notice that verse 9 says that women should adorn themselves in a manner that displays holiness. The word holiness means to be separated from any purpose other than God's will. To be holy is to be set apart for God's use only. Therefore, if women are to adorn themselves in a manner which is holy, then they need to dress in a manner which brings glory to God instead of bringing attention to themselves. But this is not what the women of today are doing. What they are doing is dressing to bring attention to themselves, to attract the attention of others to their flesh person instead of their spirit person. But the verses I just read were stressing the point that women should be dressed in a manner which will not bring attention to themselves, but will bring glory to God. Let's look at each part of the scripture. Now, I'm going to use the scripture with its example of women in order to describe the concept of holiness in the outward appearance. But what you must realize is that it is not just women that fit within the example of this scripture. It is also men who must conform to the outward perspective of holiness. This is not National Bash Women Day, but this is scripture which came from God and therefore must be applied to not only women, but to men, if the shoe fits. First, the scripture tells us that women should be dressed modestly. To be dressed modestly is to cover the body in a fashion that will not bring attention to it. To wear tight clothing, or revealing clothing, or expensive clothing is not something that will bring glory to God. If the way women dress attracts attention to their form or reveals their flesh, then they are not expressing holiness, for they are not dressing for the explicit purpose of bringing glory to God, but are attempting to bring themselves into the forefront in order that they might receive the attention instead of God. The scripture also says that women should be dressed with humility. Once again, this does not mean that the attention is to be focused on the woman, but rather that the attention should be focused on that which is in the heart of the woman, which should be God. When a woman dresses to bring attention to herself, she is attempting to exalt herself. To exalt yourself is to lift yourself up. This is the opposite of humility, for to be humble means to lower yourself before someone else. If our purpose is to lift God up, we cannot do this by lifting ourselves up instead. You cannot claim to be dressed in a manner which is humble before God if you are trying to draw attention to yourself. The scripture also says that a woman should adorn herself in a sober manner. This means that she should not appear silly. You can draw your own conclusions as to what the word silly means, but I would suggest to you that silly is the opposite of sensible. I would also like to point out the part of 1 Timothy 2:9, which says that women should not adorn themselves with braided hair. This is referring to fancy hairdos. Braiding the hair was considered a fancy form of hair care in the days of the New Testament church. The equivalent to that would be in the well-set hairstyle of today, which requires various creams, sprays, or hair treatments to establish and or maintain that style. To pay exceptional attention to the hair or any other part of the body is just another attempt at attracting attention to yourself. In addition, verse 9 explains that gold, silver, or other expensive forms of dress or ornamentation should not be part of a woman's wardrobe if she is truly trying to express holiness. Once again, remember that holiness means to be set apart for the express purpose of accomplishing God's will. If you are trying to accomplish your own will, if you're trying to push yourself out in front, then God's purpose will not be accomplished. Others will not see God in you, but will see you. Verse 10 sums up the concept of an outward manner of holiness by emphasizing that the outward manner of a person must be for the intended purpose of accomplishing God's works. Drawing attention to yourself is only going to accomplish your own glory and not the glory of God. If you're in the spotlight, then you have moved God to the shadows. Now, this set of verses is just one example of many scriptures which are completely ignored by most Christians in today's church. When you walk into a church today and see women dressed provocatively and expensively with fancy dress and fancy hairdo, and you also see the men exquisitely styled in expensive suits and flashy gold jewelry, it does not give you a picture of holiness, but a picture of infatuation with the flesh. And this is exactly why the Bible calls for God's people to come out of Babylon. Many Christians are so deceived by Satan's world social system that they cannot comprehend when they have become so self-centered that holiness is a forgotten concept. Many Christians believe that holiness is nothing more than trying not to smoke, drink, or run around. But true holiness is being set apart for God's purpose. Satan has convinced many Christians that they can ignore the concept of holiness, that they can ignore God's purpose, and still go to heaven. But Hebrews 12:14 tells us that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Many Christians believe that they can immerse themselves in secular television, secular movies, secular books, and secular magazines, and still consider themselves to be a holy people. They never stop to realize that Satan's world social system has been developed for the explicit purpose of brainwashing people. If you ask most Christians what 1 Timothy 2:8 through 10 says, they would probably not be able to tell you. What they would tell you is that what I have just explained about those scriptures is not what it really means. They wouldn't be able to tell you what it does really mean, but they wouldn't think it means what it says. However, it is most likely true that these same people have never really looked at that scripture closely and very likely never will. The reason for this is that they do not really want to know the truth, for if they did know the truth, they would be required to apply it to their lives. But because they are ignorant of what the scripture is really saying, they will just continue to go about their life with an aura of deception, yet claim that they are not deceived. But Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, so shall he also reap." Satan's world social system has been firmly established on earth. Mankind, including Christians, are so deceived by it that they allow the social standards of the world to establish truth, rather than allowing God's word to establish truth. Man's awareness of what is good and what is evil is based more on the 6 o'clock news than on scripture. The earth gives glory to man rather than to God. It is filled with man's technology, with man's inventions, and with man's sins. The earth gives witness to the power and might of man rather than to the holiness of God. Man worships the beast nature and continually pours out praise to natural man's ingenuity of science, technology, and the arts. Almost everywhere we go in this world, we see and hear testimony to the nature of carnal man. Everything in this world shouts out the sins of man and the lusts of man. Man loves the world so much that he continuously worships the base animal nature of today's social system and encourages everyone to embrace more of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life are rampant in the world, and man's beast nature encourages him to seek after the things of this world in a quest for power and in a quest for more stimulation of fleshly desires. This is nothing short of a continual declaration of love for the things of the world and a continual rejection of the higher, loftier, heavenly things of God. Yes, God is praised to some extent in the churches, but the things of this world are praised to great extent every other place and time. And actually, even in the church, you hear lots of praise and admiration for that which stimulates the flesh. Most Christians are pretty much double-minded. They have double vision. By this I mean that they set their sights on God, but at the same time they set their sights on the things of this world. The result is a blurry understanding at best. It is confusion. Now, have you ever wondered how numbers originated? It is interesting to realize some of the basic concepts of numbers. The number one was originated to explain the concept of being single. If you hold up one finger, you just see one finger. If you hold up one photograph, you just see one photograph. This is the way God wants us to see. He wants us to be single-mindedly focused on His purpose and His purpose alone. James 1:8 tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man can be represented by the number 2. The number 2 refers to double vision. You don't see things as single, but you see two things at the same time. When you try to look at two things at the same time, your vision becomes blurred. If you are to focus your eyes properly, they must be focused on just a single thing at a time. Many Christians can be represented by the number 2, for they are double-minded, double-focused. They are attempting to set their eyes on God, but at the same time their eyes are also trained on the lusts of the eye, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life. You may think I'm being too harsh, and you may think that the things I'm referring to are not that important for Christians. However, if you think so, then maybe you are one of those Christians who only likes to hear sermons if they tickle your ears. But this program is not about tickling the ears of Christians, but encouraging true Christians to move away from the world and return to the Word of God. This program is not about encouraging the deception that has become common in the Christian church, but about revealing the deception that Satan has brought upon the world. God's people are certainly God's people, but not all of God's people are truly serving Him the way God would desire them to serve Him. God's church has become a lukewarm, self-serving church that would rather be deceived than to know the truth, just so long as they can maintain their socially stimulating lifestyle. It is time for Christians to take a closer look at Scripture and to take a closer look at what true holiness really means. 2 Corinthians 6:17 encourages us to come out from among the people of the world and to be separate. Being separate is not the same thing as being a copy of the Joneses who live down the street. Being separate is not dressing as the world does, nor being subject to other things that the world considers normal. In fact, whether Christians realize it or not, there is no scripture that tells us we must have pizza and a movie on Friday night. There is no scripture that tells us to buy gold and silver in order to protect our assets. There is no scripture that tells us that we must spend lots of money for Christmas presents, and no scripture that tells us we must encourage our children to play games with the Easter Bunny. All these things are products of Satan's world social system that has been established by television, movies, books, magazines, and newspapers. Instead of God's world social system being established by Scripture and by His Holy Spirit, mankind has been deceived into establishing a false set of social values based on secular concepts. Satan dangles his bait, and the people of earth, including many Christians, have swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
Here's a question for you. Have you also been caught by Satan's lies? You may think you haven't, but maybe you have and don't realize it. But it is a certainty that if you do not single-mindedly focus your attention on God's will, and if you do not single-mindedly attempt to order your life for Him, then you are being deceived. For if you are not set apart completely for God's will, then you are automatically accomplishing the will of Satan. No, maybe not completely. but certainly you will be accomplishing Satan's will much more than you realize. You know, most Christians think that Satan's only deception is to try to get them to drink, smoke, and carouse. But what Satan wants most is for God's people to cease from being vessels of holiness. Satan knows that most people will not become Satan worshipers or practitioners of witchcraft. But Satan also knows that if he can get you to ignore the Word of God and to establish your principles based upon the world's point of view, then he can erase your knowledge of truth. Remember, Satan's lies are not the complete opposite of truth, but 99% truth. His lies are built on twisting the truth just enough so that you will not recognize when you are deceived. The Bible calls for God's children to come out from the midst of Babylon so that they will not be partakers of God's wrath. It's talking about Great Babylon, which is the spiritual city of wickedness in which all people of the earth live who refuse to live a life of holiness. It is important to realize that if you remain a resident of Great Babylon, you will be lost. This is why in Revelation 18:4, God calls his people to come out of Great Babylon. And notice that God is not calling the wicked to come out of Babylon, but is calling his own children to come out. God knows that it is only his children who can awake to righteousness and who will heed the call to come out of the wickedness that is permeating the earth. Just as Jerusalem is symbolically established as the city of God, Babylon is symbolically established as the city of Satan. In Revelation 18:12-13, there are listed the dainty and sumptuous things of earth. These are the things that the great whore of Babylon desires. If you desire the dainty and sumptuous things of earth instead of the holy and righteous things of God, then you are also considered to be the great whore. For all those who are in bed with the world are considered to be as a woman who has forsaken God and gone after her own lovers. So when will the church wake up and come out from among the people of this world and become separate unto God? God is calling his people. Who will answer? Are we so enamored with this world that we will refuse to give up the dainty and sumptuous things? Are we so in love with the things of this world that we would rather have them than to be holy vessels of God? God is calling his people to come out of Great Babylon. Who will answer? Certainly not those who have itching ears, who only want to have their ears tickled by a comfortable sermon that tells Christians that they are just fine the way they are. Who will answer? Well, you can answer, but it will cost you something if you do. Christians who claim to be the bride of Christ, while still being in bed with the world, will not be going to heaven. Don't be deceived. Don't hang on to the dainty and sumptuous things of this world. As Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I encourage each one of you to take a good long look at the values you live by. To become separate from the world is not easy, but it will help if you look around for others who have determined to come out from among the people of the world and to be separate no matter what the cost. It is in the fellowship with these others that you will find extra strength to come out of Satan's bondage. You do not have to be shackled to the world's way of life, but with the help of God and the encouragement of others, you can escape that bondage. The time for this is now, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is very near. It is time to prepare.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 61, Have you also been caught by Satan's lies? As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.